Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we're joined once again on a Friday edition of The Scoop by Dan Slabov on the Prowl. Dan, happy Friday.
Hey, thanks, Seth. It should be a weekend of working for me. I don't know if the listeners know, but I sell paint at Sherwin-Williams as a, you know, part-time gig. You know, in the summer, I am full-time, you know, trying to make as much money as possible to pay off one final year of school at North Dakota State. So, the weekend of work for me, and obviously just waiting for the NBA draft, and then a week and a half later, NBA free agency will kick off. So, should be a fun next month or so. It's going to be crazy until then. Until the draft, there's not really much NBA news to really talk about other than the typical rumors, you know, the NBA draft rumors of teams trying to trade up and maybe trade players for picks and such as that, you know. But for this year, for the Timberwolves, it's, you know, at pick number 20, and with, you know, without a clear name or highly touted prospect to get excited about, it's definitely a different feeling. Not as much anticipation on my side, or I believe, you know, most of Timberwolves fan's side, but you know, that it should be, you know, it's still an important pick in that, you know, the Wolves need to hit on it because they are really restricted with money right now. And so because of that, they need to have cheap, valuable, you know, guys that are on cheap contracts on the roster to really round out that rotation and complement the studs and Karl Towns, Jimmy Butler, and then, you know, a hopeful stud in Andrew Wiggins. So the pick is very important, and I'm just ready to see what the Wolves do with him.
Before we dive in, obviously earlier this week, Dan, the Scoop celebrated the 2-year anniversary of its start, and you have been one of the OGs, as I've said, the original guests. So I wanted to make sure to take some time here on the air to thank you for all of your numerous contributions throughout the first 2 years of the show. And there will be plenty more to come here as we go forward, but it's been quite the ride, and definitely glad to have had you along as part of it.
No, thank you, Seth, for contacting me and asking me to be the Timberwolves guest on the show. It's been a great ride so far, and we're just getting started. And it's just, you know, we've had 1 year of really competitive basketball to talk about, and to cover this team with you and the rest of the On the Prowl staff has been one of the greater joys of the last few years of my life. And you know, hopefully we can talk about this team transcending into a contender in the next few years. That's the goal. And yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you contacting me for this opportunity, Seth, because it's just been fun.
Aw, let's get into it here, and let's look at some of the things that we'll see here this offseason. We'll start off just from a Timberwolves perspective, and then we'll talk a little LeBron as well. That seems to be the trendy thing to do, wondering where he's going to end up. So let's just look, Dan, at the Timberwolves' objectives and see about some things that the Wolves need to do here this offseason. What are some checklist items for you that you'd like to see the Wolves accomplish through both the draft and free agency?
So I think the free agent the free agent interest, or as far as what the Wolves need through free agency, is similar to last season in that the Wolves need wings to back up Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler. And they, you know, they got Jamal Crawford on the mid-level last year, and then again this summer they have the mid-level again to work with. But just like last summer, the, you know, 3-and-D wings will be the primary, the goal for the Wolves to acquire. And so a few names that to keep an eye on are Avery Bradley, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Danny Green, although you can make a case that all three of those players deserve more than the mid-level exception. But those are three really quality wings that would really help the Wolves. And, you know, having one of those guys coming off the bench, backing up Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler, would really be a nice boost for the Wolves this season. And, you know, a guy like Jamal Crawford, who, you know, was a nice veteran presence in the office in the clubhouse last year and won a few games for the Wolves, was, you know, he was fine for a year, but then again, his defense is, you know, it was on the downhill, and it left a lot to be desired. So yeah, I think just even plugging in a capable defensive wing who's more physically gifted at that point in his career, and just has more defensive capability than a guy like Jamal will help the Wolves' defensive ranking next season if they can acquire someone like a Danny Green, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or Avery Bradley. So, you know, I think those three guys, the primary targets, I believe the Wolves should be trying to acquire. It's going to be tough. You know, I think Tom Thibodeau as head coach, you know, he doesn't play his bench players a lot. So, you know, that is already puts the Wolves a step behind in the free agency market. You know, but besides free agency, you have Gorgui Dieng's contract on your salary cap that you're trying to shed this offseason. I believe he's got 3 years and about 40 some million left. You know, a contract that you are looking to get out of, so that you can explore bringing in someone, you know, another rotational player who can help in the short term. And then, of course, you know, you have you have Cole Aldrich that you might be looking to waive or, you know, trade as well to provide some salary cap relief. And then Nemanja Bjelica, power forward for the Wolves, who had a pretty up and down season last year, but overall was a solid rotation player who helped the Wolves and knew his role. He's a restricted free agent. So, you know, those are the main storylines going into the offseason for the Wolves. And of course, this is more of a sleeper storyline, but Andrew Wiggins, you know, and his ability to, you know, take that next step, you know, so he could, because his contract next year he's going to the max. So he will be earning max money starting next season for the next five years of $147 million. So whether the Wolves look to get out of Andrew Wiggins' contract early, when you know other teams may still have trade interest, then is going to be, you know, an intriguing topic. Or maybe the Wolves are still sold that Wiggins can reach his potential and be that wing and sharp shooting slasher, you know, menace on defense that the Wolves need him to be beside their star player in Jimmy Butler. And that is, you know, kind of a sleeper storyline heading into the offseason. We've seen Tom Thibodeau be willing to trade a young guy for a star, or you know, part ways with these young players, such as, you know, as he did with Zach LaVine last June. And so, you know, we've seen that Tom Thibodeau is not afraid to make a big move and make a blockbuster trade. So we and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, and if the Wolves, you know, and Tom Thibodeau still believe and trust that Wiggins can reach his, you know, ceiling. Because if they don't, then I'm sure they're going to be making some calls within the next couple months.
Do you think they end up, and the draft is on June 21st, so it is next Thursday. Do you think it's more likely that the Wolves end up making a pick there, or do you think we see them try to shed a salary and attach it to that pick just to try to free up some more salary cap room?
I think for the Wolves, they need to be smart and not just look at how they can win next year, but in four or five years down the road. And because of that, they need some cheap contracts on their roster, some young guys who can contribute and be a valuable rotation player. And because of that, I believe they need to keep their pick. They could try to trade with a team who's looking to, obviously acquire the number 20. They could trade the number 20 and attach a guy like Gordy or Cole Aldrich for maybe someone who was drafted last year. For example, Josh Hart from the Los Angeles Lakers, a 6'5 guard from Villanova, who had a pretty solid season last year, this past season for the Lakers. He is well known for his defensive energy, and he shot 39% from three-point range. What they could do is trade, the pick, but not necessarily for a veteran. They could trade it for a guy who's shown flashes of excellence in the NBA, such as Josh Hart, potential 3-and-D, quality rotation player. So, it's intriguing, whether, they keep the pick or, I actually believe that almost the best case scenario is attaching, a Gorgui Jang's contract or Cole Aldrich contract along with the number 20 pick for maybe a lower first round pick, maybe 25 to 30, and try to get, a second year wing who had shown flashes of excellence in the past season that maybe another team would trade if they really like a guy at number 20 that they don't think they'd be able to get where they're selecting. So, I actually think that's best case scenario. And the reason I'm bringing up Josh Hart from the Lakers is because I can't remember who it was. It might have a pretty popular sports media outlet last night, but I was reading that there was reported that the Lakers might attach Josh Hart in order to move up into the probably 15 to 25 range in the draft. So, it's going to be very intriguing what the Wolves do, but I think in the end they'll either keep the pick or they will trade the pick but still acquire a young asset.
Another intriguing scenario that I'm seeing is that it sounds like the Memphis Grizzlies are at least going to entertain trading away the fourth overall pick. And one I saw here, and I don't recall if it included both Wiggins and the pick or if it was just Wiggins straight up, was Memphis trading Chandler Parsons and the fourth overall pick in exchange for some combination of Andrew Wiggins or Andrew Wiggins and the Timberwolves first round draft pick. Does that intrigue you at all, Dan?
Yeah, that's tough. It does in the sense that Chandler Parsons' money would come off the table after the 2019-2020 season. In another sense, do you trade Andrew Wiggins for Chandler Parsons and someone who probably won't be a regular, a guy who you can rely on, in the first and second years of his career, while you had just made a win now move in acquiring Jimmy Butler and Jeff Teague and Taj Gibson as well. So it's tough. It would certainly open up the window, to be competitive, not just within this, 4 to 5 year stretch, but within the next 8-9 years, because when you draft a guy that high, you essentially have his rights for around 9 years or 8 to 9 years. So it definitely be great to have a top five draft pick in Minnesota who's earning who's on a pretty affordable contract, who has a pretty high upside. It's interesting because I, you know, Andrew Wiggins would actually be a pretty solid fit in Memphis. You know, they really need a guy they can try to build around, and obviously they would go to Wiggins as their primary scorer, and obviously that would also allow them to get rid of Chandler Parsons' contract off of their salary cap. It's tough. I think I'm just as stumped as you were last week when I popped the Kevin Durant question on you, I guess.
Touché.
I actually think I would do it. I know most Wolves fans probably wouldn't agree with that, but as someone who doesn't believe Andrew Wiggins will hit his full potential and be that consistent player we need him to be besides Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns, and I do make the trade, and I hope that Chandler Parsons can be at least a guy you can plug into your rotation next year and get another top five draft pick. But I don't think that would be the general consensus opinion among Wolves fans.
Well, yeah, it that would be just a very interesting scenario. And the good thing is that when we talk next week, we'll have an idea of what they end up doing because the draft will have already happened. So we'll know if they do a bunch of trades, if they trade the pick, if they end up drafting somebody. We'll be able to react to that. Whatever they end up deciding to do. So it'll be interesting to see how the Wolves play the draft. Of course, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's a difficult question because you don't know what's going to happen with LeBron James. So let's tilt our focus a little bit, Dan, and let's go to the King. What do you think ends up happening with LeBron once free agency is all said and done this year?
Fascinating question. I think he's in the city of brotherly love. I think he joined Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid in the East. As joyful and lovely Los Angeles sounds, I don't think he goes to a place where it's going to be tough for him to not just be Golden State, but also possibly Houston, depending on what Houston does this offseason. And because of that, Boston will be a tough out in the East again, and especially with them getting their two star players, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, back into the fold. But I think he's a pretty solid fit in Philadelphia system as long as they can get shooters to support him and Ben Simmons on the perimeter. That team likes to run and gun. The team likes to move fast-paced on the court. They were top five transition team this past season with Ben Simmons leading the way as a facilitator. And obviously, I do think LeBron heads to Philadelphia. Now, would it shock me to see him land in L.A. with Paul George? It would not. It's going to be. I actually don't think any of Houston, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, or Cleveland. Cleveland might shock me a little, but those three destinations don't shock me. And part of me wonders if he has a small hope of belief that if he returns to Cleveland, they can make a blockbuster trade. You know, let's say Portland wants a big man coming to the fold to support Damian Lillard, then. You know, could a CJ McCollum, Kevin Love swap make sense? Or a Kevin Love sign and trade with Paul George with Oklahoma City? It really depends on if LeBron actually believes that Cleveland can improve. And if he does, then, maybe he stays in Cleveland. Again, right now I'm just talking basketball, but it has been reported that he's going to do what's best for his family, and his kids are nearing high school, or I believe his oldest son is 14, so he's probably just entered high school. So he wants to do what's best for his son and his wife. And at this point, because when he, 4 years ago, when he made the decision to come back to Cleveland, his sons were still you know, fairly little and fairly young. And at that point, you know, it wasn't, you know, when you're little, you make friends, but, you know, you're not quite as, you know, plugged in with, you know, and as you get older, you obviously start to develop friendships, lasting friendships. And LeBron, you know, is looking out for his kids in that sense, which is you know, a really cool thing, you know, to be concerned about. So I think LeBron's going to do what's best for his family. He has a $45 million house out in L.A. So, again, I would not be surprised if he went from Cleveland and just lived in beautiful L.A. all year round. I mean, you know, and if L.A. was really looking to go in win now mode, I mean, obviously if you bring in LeBron James and Paul George, you're going to enter win now mode. But if they really wanted to add, you know, a top 10 player right now, they could dangle Lonzo Ball or Brandon Ingram around and try to attach a draft pick to one of them and try to trade for Kawhi Leonard or another star in the NBA. Because, you know, if you're San Antonio and the Lakers offer you Brandon Ingram, a draft pick, and you know, to Kyle Kuzma, that is a pretty tempting, you know, tempting swap. So when it's all said and done, it is possible that LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George are on the same team. I wouldn't say it's likely, but with the Lakers' ability to sign two max players and also work with some of the young studs they have, and you package that in a deal with, you know, attach a draft pick to one of them and attach a Timothy Mozgov to those players to make the money work, it's possible that they could wind up with three superstars back in the Lakers team this summer. So it's going to be an absolutely fascinating season all around. In that being said, if LeBron James does decide to leave Cleveland, there's no reason for Cleveland to keep their current, almost any of their current players in their roster, because most of the current players were there to help LeBron win now, as hard as it may seem to believe. So Kevin Love's going to go on the trade block, and then they're going to try to start selling off all these veteran players like J.R. Smith and George Hill, Tristan Thompson, to teams that might need, you know, a player of their skill sets to help their rotation. So it's going to be a summer it's going to be summer full of domino effects. Everybody's going to be waiting for LeBron to sign, and I personally don't believe much is going to happen until LeBron makes his decision, and then, you know, and then guys like Paul George and DeMarcus Cousins and other star players like that will follow, because obviously Paul George, you know, Paul George doesn't want to end up signing first if he miss his opportunity to play with LeBron James. So it's going to be a fascinating summer, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, it's going to provide us no shortage of things to discuss, and we'll definitely make sure to do so. But we'll just check things off here as we go, just piece by piece. Of course, the draft coming up, as I mentioned, on the 21st, so we'll be able to check that off the list when we talk again next week. But then free agency after that as well. Dan, just looking ahead for On the Prowl, any content that listeners can be looking for here either over the weekend or early on into next week?
Yeah, so Zach and I did an inbox this past week on the Wolves off-season to-do list, so go check that out. There's a lot of similar conversation we've had in this conversation, but maybe a little bit more details and extra little information and insight on what the Wolves need to do and how they could go about their offseason process. And then tomorrow, Jake Painting has an article coming out on, you know, potential players the Wolves could select at number 20 in next week's NBA draft. So be sure to read those pieces, and I'm sure in the offseason goes along, we will have plenty of content you know, along the way. So, yeah, be sure to check out ontheprowlmn.com for all your Timberwolves needs and hot takes.
Exquisite. Dan, thank you so much for joining the show here today. Always interesting conversations as we've had here for the last couple of years, and many more to come here on The Scoop. So, again, we thank you for joining here today, and we will see how the draft went, and we'll talk plenty more NBA with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth.